thank you for welcoming me. I want to share my, I need to not move my head, right? Share my testimony with you all this morning. I'm used to that. I should know this by now. So where are you from Genesis 3:9? The words from God to Adam after he had sinned. The beautiful pursuit of God on our lives. The beautiful invitation as he reaches out to the lost. And that was me, lost, wandering, flailing more like, tossed by the waves, anxious about everything, making unwise decisions, and suffering the consequences of them, time and again. Tired of living with a mask on, living in fear and insecurities. But there was something different from a young age for me, and it was when I was around the age of 5, I recall asking my mom, "What am I?" I was told I was a Christian because I had been christened and I was going to heaven. I accepted that, not understanding what it really meant or didn't mean, and trusted I was going to heaven no matter what. And I was interested in things of faith through my childhood, curious of my grandmother's cross that she would wear on her necklace, her spiritual life, seeking to go to church at times, and awed with chills by the choir singing in a local cathedral where we lived at the time. My understanding of God was more to do with rules and regulations, but I didn't hold to the idea that God would punish me if I did something wrong or disobeyed in some way. I didn't see him as the authority figure in my life. Obeying my parents or authority on earth was quite separate in my mind to the authority of God. I think I always knew that God loved me somehow, even though I didn't know him personally at that time. It was a bit like I knew my dad loved me and was the boss of the family, but my mom was the one who administered the authority. But still, the authority on earth was quite separate to God in my mind. I think my headmaster at my primary school came closest to helping me understand at the time about God, since his stature and authoritative presence was enough to cause fear in me, and his booming voice behind a closed door to a young 5-year-old was enough to make my knees knock. But he was a very kind man and well-loved and respected by many. And it was at his school where I learned some Christian hymns and carols, but no real understanding of the gospel. My young world, as perhaps many kids, was focused on my nuclear family, and I had an enjoyable childhood, growing up in a seaside town in England with rolling hills behind us. We knew we had it good. Until the day my mom sat me down on the couch and informed me that she and my dad were getting divorced and asked me who I would like to live with. I was coming up 10 years old. My world was shaken and shattered in a moment, and most definitely my trust. What can I believe now? More importantly, who could I believe now? My sister and I were uprooted and moved to live with our mother and maternal grandmother some 200 miles away from our dad. Days grew into months and months years. Time passed, but for me, it did not bring healing. I struggled immensely, hating the new location and hating the school and missing my dear friends, not to mention my dad. And dad, unbeknownst to us at the time of our move, had Huntington's disease, which progressively worsened as the years went by and resulting in less visits as he was unable to see us. And a decade later, resulting in him in a nursing home before he passed away. As perhaps some of you may know, to watch someone you love suffer is incredibly painful. In my high school years, in the midst of my pain and search for love, I recall making a very distinct decision of who I would hang out with. I chose those who were welcoming me, regardless of their practices. I was looking for love, but in all the wrong places. Attending school for me at that time was something that had to be done, but I felt suffocated and I wanted out as quickly as possible. by the grace of God, I landed a college course that I actually enjoyed, and it was combined with a work experience position. At 16, I was engaged, and at 17, I moved out of my mother's house, was working and renting my own home around the age of 18, and shortly before my 20th birthday was when my dad had passed away. I was hurting, I was angry, and I was lost. I continued on this trajectory of seeking love in the wrong places, and the journey brought me to America and a job at the World Bank in Washington, D.C. Add to the seeking, drinking alcohol at an unhealthy level to try and fill the empty place in my heart. Where are you? Even though I didn't understand the gospel, I knew I had messed up and caused myself pain and others and was in a destructive spiral. But I didn't know how to get out of it myself. And I didn't want to tell anyone, because tied up in the spiral is fear and shame and guilt that I didn't even really truly understand. And how could I communicate that? On top of that, coming from a culture where we don't talk about those things. But I was about to explode if I didn't. Before I left England, a relatively new friend of mine had given me a New Testament, and she encouraged me to read it. My dear friend glowed, and it actually annoyed me, since I couldn't figure out what made her so happy. She was glad to tell me it was Jesus, although I didn't hear that part. Sometime later, I learned she had been a Christian about 6 months at the time of sharing with me. As my difficulties escalated during my early days in the U.S., I opened the New Testament again and again, but I didn't understand it. I thought it was coded. I may have even asked God to help me understand. Each time, I would start back at Matthew, hoping it would make sense. Where are you? In my struggles, I found myself a few times calling out to God for help. And during a particularly dark season, I cried out and received a direct answer. It wasn't an audible answer or an audible voice, but it was a very clear one inside telling me to get out now from a situation and a relationship I was in. I acted swiftly and was moved quickly. I knew God had helped me. One day, God got my attention in his word, the Bible, as I reached chapter 6 of Matthew, verses 25 through 33. Some of you may be familiar with those verses. In particular, the verse that rang out to me, my neon sign, was verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Lift your eyes, Isaiah 40:26. This is the theme verse for you all this year in Kindred. And it's at this point in my story where my attention was turned to God. Ding, 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 seek God, go to church. That's what I'll do. The search began, and I had a couple of friends happy to help me at the time. Looking back, I was a bit like Goldilocks trying to find the right place to fit in. One church was large, and during the service, the people had their hands raised as they sang, and it was strange to me. And it wasn't the way I had seen a church service. And no, that was not for me. A friend encouraged me to see a medium, and no, that was not for me. I was told about meditation, not the Christian kind, and that was a non-starter for me. Living in that little new home with new friendships and my search ensuing, the next couple of years were much brighter and healthier for me. I had started ballroom dancing and loved it, but it too didn't fill the emptiness inside. It was in a trusted relationship that I accepted an invitation to a church. And while I felt awkward not knowing what to expect and how to act, there was a familiarity and a warmness to this church. The service wasn't unlike the services I had experienced in England all those years ago as a child. But the building itself was warm and inviting, unlike those I had experienced. And more importantly, the people welcomed me, a stranger, lovingly, patiently, and graciously. And my best friend today is one of the women that I had met in that church and served alongside. Where are you? I believe some Christians in my office at work were praying for me at the time, and my friend in England who had given me the New Testament. And during Lent of 2003, one of my colleagues was reading the book, The Purpose-Driven Life, with her church. She had the book sitting on her desk, and I picked it up, I read the back, and I told her I needed to get that book. I promptly walked to the bookstore that lunch hour, purchased the book, and instead of reading it daily, a chapter a day as it was encouraged to be, I waded through the book to try and catch up to where my colleague might be. And it was in here, in the pages of this book, as Pastor Rick Warren pointed to Jesus, that I learned God formed me in my mother's womb from Psalm 139. And he, God, knew me. He saw me. And he knew me, everything about me. This rebellious, fragile, hurting woman started to break. Next, I learned in my current state I wasn't a Christian. And in knowing that truth, I knew I was not headed to heaven and knew the alternative was hell. For the first time, I was scared of my eternal state. But not knowing what to do, I kept reading. As I sat in my bed and read, a question was raised for me. If this Jesus was so good, why didn't anybody tell me? As I look back now, I think there were people telling me, but I wasn't willing to listen. The hunger and the longing and the desire to be with God, to know him, to know the truth, to seek him first grew strong and was heavy on my heart. And on Good Friday, April 18th, 2003, I walked into the church I was attending, sat down in a pew. Looked up at the cross, and from my heart and my mind, I said over and over, I want to know you, Lord. I want to know you. And it was in that moment of surrender, I believe God forgave me and made me new. I was born again. The weight of worry that I carried was lifted in a moment. And I was sobbing, and I still cry, as you can tell. Ha! Still gets me every time. And I was rejoicing at the same time. I felt like I floated out of that sanctuary that day. I had found the love I had been searching for. And then actually he, God who is love, had found me. He drew me to the cross. He opened my eyes to see my sin and see the truth. He set me free. The love I had been searching for found me. So how did my life change after knowing the Lord and surrendering to him? Mine was a 180. Much changed in my life pretty quickly. I knew things had to change, and I made those changes, but now it was with God's help. From relationships to clothes and to words, and my words were not pretty, and thoughts. As I sat at my kitchen table with my Bible open, I recall saying to God, I've given my life to you, but I don't know you. And so I started to read at the beginning in the Bible in Genesis. And God took me through his word and the Holy Spirit helping me to understand as he continues to today. My love for his word grows deeper and richer as the years go by. I didn't even know how to pray. And by now I was listening to Christian radio. And I would ask God to help me. And a sermon would come on the radio teaching about prayer. A transforming time came early in my faith walk when I was asked to volunteer in the youth group as a relatively new believer. I said no. I hated being a teenager and I don't know what to say to them. And as my fears of insecurity jumped into gear, after praying, I said yes, and I took a nervous step into serving with the youth group. And I believe God was taking me through the youth group. I barely knew one verse ahead of the kiddos, but what a rich and wonderful time I had serving the youth alongside my friends. What dependency the Lord taught me and disciplines to help me grow in my new faith walk. He was teaching me as I was helping the youth to know him. And I'm so thankful for that season. We laughed together, cried together, and prayed for those kiddos. Do I still worry? At times, worries come. But now I know what to do with them, who to bring them to, and how to move on and not be paralyzed by them. Do I still mess up? Yes. But there is grace from God, repentance on my part, and forgiveness. There has been a desert season where I learned to cling to the Lord and pray and continue to seek him like never before. There have been dark seasons where time and again I'm reminded to seek God first. And I have experienced the church, the body of Christ, encouraging me and building me up to do the same. And there have been joys so great I feel like my heart would burst as he shows me who he is and he heals me and teaches me how to live, lovingly restoring me to who he created me to be, to love him and worship him. And as a follower of Jesus who knows why she's been created, I now get to praise and worship our great God who is all deserving. Where are you? Are you seeking him first? Do you hear his pursuit of you today? That's some of my story so far, ladies. How about you?